And now we're going to see how far we can get this evening, beginning in chapter 7. Now, the first nine chapters of Proverbs, as we're kind of going through it, we're kind of going to be hitting that, hopefully getting into that point this evening. The first nine chapters, we kind of see two focus areas that we see that keep coming up. It's, you know, the evil woman, right? We see that, and not just because women are evil. That's not the thought. It's just that's what's represented there, the evil woman, okay? And then we've got the other part of it that we look at, and to the exhortation to all of us to pursue godly wisdom and direction for our lives. The exhortation goes out to us to, hey, man, seek it out. Find it. It's there for you. God wants to give it to us as his kids. He wants to bless us with it. But we need to seek it and then choose it. I think it's one thing to look after information and, like James said, you know, wanting wisdom. But he said, man, you ask and you're looking for it, but then you're kind of double-minded. You get information and wisdom from the Lord, but then you start questioning it and you start thinking through it. And we all have done this to some greater or lesser extent. And the times that it's really productive in our lives, when we seek it and we choose it. We say, Lord, this is what you've ministered. This is what you've spoken. I'm going to follow it. So as we look at this tonight, we kind of see in these nine chapters, we'll have seen these two major areas of the, and the warning to us about avoiding the evil woman. And, you know, I really don't look at it in, I know that it specifically talks about this, about gals, but it also goes vice versa. It really. There's danger because of the human condition, you know, because of the way we're designed. There's danger and there's a warning for us. We're going to cover some more of that in this in chapter 7 as we go through this. Let's start in verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. So remember, when we first got introduced to the evil woman, as we started through this, we found out flattery was a part of it. Remember? That was part of what happened, this flattering words being said. And guys are just lame enough to think that, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, yeah, I'm pretty cool, you know. But, you know, this is why God's given us wives, to keep us in check. You know, you're maybe not as cool as you thought you were. They know who we really are. You know, these other people don't really know us, you see. And they're just kind of coming on that way. But the reality is we're not near as cool as what they might be thinking. So it's foolish to buy in on this. But the flattery, and it appeals to man, and it appeals to at the core, really, of our pride and just our human condition. And so you see that and how it's used as a tool. But what does it say at first to do? Keep my words and treasure my commands within you. You know, staying in the word, staying faithful to know the Lord, to walk with the Lord. And he says, you know, keep that word and live. You know, put it up as the apple of your eye, that point of focus, something that I look upon and I focus in on, and that it's the apple of my eye. As you have children and, you know, maybe one day grandchildren, you can look at these kids and you can look, they're the apple of your eye. You know, the Bible says that you are the apple of his eye, that you and I are the apple of God's eye. That he looks upon you, and it's that idea of just gazing upon and being in love with and being just having strong affection and love for, you know, that looking upon and having that type of. But we should put the word up in that light for us and see it, keep it as the apple of our eye, not letting God other things cloud the focus of it. And then it just talks about binding them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart, you know, insert the word into our lives. Verse 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw the simple. I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding. Passing along the street near her corner, he took the path to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him, with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, with an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. And I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and he will come on the appointed day. Come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. And immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. You know, I've had several young fellows over the years approach me, and it wasn't long after they had gotten married. You know, a lot of times people think that, man, I'm going to get married, it fixes all my sexual issues, everything. It just fixes everything in life, you know. That's not necessarily just so. And it was really interesting that someone would say, you know, from the time I put this ring on my finger, I've had more gals, you know, approaching me and doing all this stuff. You know, why is that? Well, I don't know that I understand exactly all the whys of that, but it is oftentimes true. And it's a danger, and it even goes into the danger inside the body of Christ. I think there's some interesting things in here to contemplate, especially as we hit verse 14, where there's brought into this picture an element of spirituality, isn't there? Kind of this element of spirituality that, man, I have peace offerings with me. Today I've paid my vows. You know, they would, at the time of their customary period, you know, they'd go in and then they'd go in for, you know, the customary, like, cleansing. They'd offer offerings and peace offerings, and they'd go in before the Lord. And it represented a time of cleansing and then fellowship with the Lord. And then, you know, what's interesting when you think about that is that's what happens a lot of times. And in our body, you know, it's one thing, but as we grow and the body gets bigger and you got a lot more people coming around, it even gets more difficult because the realities of this start setting in more. People, we get together, brothers and sisters, and we enjoy each other's company, and we sense the presence of the Lord, and we sense a lot of times even the overflow of His love and His goodness towards us. And sometimes this transfers into relationships. And we can start making relationships with other people. And we've got to be very careful about this. This is why I like to have the gals praying with the gals. And I like to have the guys praying with the guys. It's not because I'm, you know, sexist or something. It's because I see it as a biblical principle that's worth guarding. I understand what the Bible teaches here about the human condition. I understand the weakness that there is within the human condition, and I think it's to be guarded because the Bible teaches us to guard against that. The person who thinks they're real strong, you know, I listened to this one study in these kind of areas. I listened to this one study a long time ago, and one of the guys was sharing, and he said, yeah, they'd been in Chicago doing this big ministry thing, and all these guys were, you know, pastors, you know, different ages, but it was a big pastoral thing, and all these guys were there, and they were all hanging out, and the one guy came up and said, man, you know, that's great, but, you know, I just don't have any problems with that. This guy had gone over a lot of these issues, sexual issues and different things. The guy said, no, not me, man, I don't have any problems with that, but that was really neat, and just kind of talked with this guy that it was the speaker. And the guy, you know. Well, later on that night, this guy gets a call, and it's from this guy, and he's in jail because he is wandering around Chicago flashing people, flashing ladies. But he didn't have any sexual problems. You see, it's kind of interesting how that works, how weird that can be. But then that was a true story. And so you think about that, and it's really the depth of the depravity of man. We can't, it's just in our society. And so we can't be careful, and we got to guard against these things. And this is why we say, I think the danger comes in, is, and we've talked about this before, and I got this years ago from John Corson, a study he was doing, and I've loved it ever since because I find it to be true. To be careful swapping treasures. It's just good wisdom to be careful swapping treasures, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You start getting too intimate with the opposite. You start striking up this relationship, guys with gals and gals with guys. You know, and you listen to younger people or any age people, and they say, well, I'm just kind of counseling with them. I'm kind of helping them get through something. Really, be careful. And people think this is harsh. I'm a severant. You don't need to counsel with them anymore. You need to hook up with the guys, the gals, you need to hook up with the gal right now. You know, to go out and hang out. If you want to strike up a relationship, there's godly ways to go about all that. But to think that then again, this is that idea, the spiritual idea that I'm going to help somebody. I don't sit around and praise the Lord. You know what? When you teach through the Word, you don't have a whole lot of heavy counsel load. And this is the honest truth. You teach through the Word, you don't have a lot of it because the Word is, He's our mighty counselor. You know, He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one that's able to minister to our deepest needs. And going through His Word, Him being the living Word, covers and takes care of a lot of those areas that, you know, there's questions that come up and different things. But there's, you know, a lot of the counsel gets taken care of through the teaching of the Word. Isn't that a wonderful truth? And we can enjoy that. But our position here at Calvary Chapel, and my position will always be in people that are involved in leadership, the position is this. What we have to share with you is going to be the Bible. We don't have a bunch of other counsel to share with you. All we have is the Bible. We can point you to God's scriptures. We can pray with you. We can encourage you. But that's what we have is God's Word. Because we believe God's Word is what changes lives. We believe that Jesus can do it through His Word. And I know it's not the fastest way to do everything. I know it's not the, you know, you can get a lot of things going and a lot of different circus environment things happening. But man, this is the sure foundation that we want to build upon. And it's based on the wisdom and the kind of things that we're gathering, gleaning out of the Word as we go through it. But this gal's even saying, hey, she's brought in this spiritual end to it. Like, you know, and well, you know, it's okay. Didn't we get to, weren't we worshiping earlier? And, you know, and you see, we don't worship and get together on Sundays and Wednesdays and whenever any other times we can get together and be in the Word together. We don't get together just to make ourselves feel good. Yes, we walk away edified. But the danger in that is that others go away feeling good. They're kind of on a high, and then they're vulnerable. It's really kind of a trippy thing that happens that way. But it's very real. And I know that a lot of the singles groups in large congregations where you have single groups and stuff, this is a real issue. It happens, you know, it's a real dangerous thing. And so I share that with you so that you can see the deception that sets in. And it starts out, brothers and sisters, it starts out in the spirit, but quickly ends up in the flesh. And so the danger and the caution, the warning goes out to all of us to be careful. So when someone, as the church grows and there's more people around, you're involved and people start interacting, choose wisdom. Walk in wisdom. You know, we seek it, now choose it. We don't need to, and this is what's great about it. I think it's awesome. For me, it's a real answer to prayer with the youth group that's getting started here. You know, we need to keep praying for it. It takes time. It's being birthed, okay? But the deal is it's so neat to have a couple that's doing that. You know, because the gals can talk with Sarah. The younger guys, they can talk with Adam. You know, it's healthy. It's a good environment. That's going to be conducive to really neat things happening in this setting right now. It's really good for our group to be functioning that way. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited to see as we go through this to apply this truth as we know it, to be careful. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking a question or anything. You know, everybody's available for that. That's fine. But we've got to know when. A lot of times people start talking to me and it gets too personal. I say, hey, you know what? I think it'd probably be a good idea if maybe you visited with my wife about that. Or maybe one of the other ladies in the congregation that I'm aware of that would be able to be helpful to you. You know, and that's just wisdom. It's better. The gals can minister to the gals. Where your treasure is, or your heart will be also. You can start, it's just a weird thing that happens. You start following after your heart, and you swap treasures, and it wasn't wise. Keep your treasure between you and your spouse. You know, if you're single, keep it with the Lord. Keep your treasure with the Lord, and wait patiently for the Lord to give you guidance and direction. Now, in verse 24, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending into the chambers of death. And we talked about this, the deception of that and the sad things that have happened. Really, over the years, the sad things that have happened through promiscuity. You know, it's that whole country western song, looking for love in all the wrong places, you know? It's just, you know, what a true statement that really is. You know, people start looking for a relationship, and they're just looking, ill-begotten ideas about the relationship anyway. We should be looking for the Lord and praying for that relationship if that's what God has for us. But we shouldn't be in just direct pursuit in ourselves. I think it's interesting too in verse 23, as we saw that till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know that it would cost his life. I heard some interesting statistics recently, and I won't remember all of them exactly, but at age 35, it was 1 in 50,000 chance possibility that you'd come to repentance and come to know Jesus Christ. These are just general statistics, global. But as you get older, it increases in this sense that, you know, all of a sudden when you're maybe 40-ish, maybe it's 1 in 75 or 175,000. I mean, and then all of a sudden it jumps to like, you know, over 500,000 at 50, and then it just goes skyrockets. You know, isn't that interesting when you think about that? You know, the most decisions are made, and this is why as time goes by, we want to minister to everybody. In our fellowship, we want to minister to everybody. Even here tonight, we have a very broad scope of age and needs and everything. We want to minister. We want to develop these areas and let the Lord do that. But it's real important. We don't want to miss. And I think it's important for us who've got a little more miles on us to remember and think about this next generation that's coming up. This generation that so many have never even really heard about God, or those who maybe have, especially in our area, you know, here near the Buckle, you know, those so many have only heard about what? The religious idea about God, and not really relationship, not really what the joy of walking with the Lord, what's really, it's all really about, not just about some religious rules of do's and don'ts. What an opportunity that we have. And I think, so for us that have got a little bit more mileage on us, we don't want to lose sight of still wanting to reach out and do things for the young people. Because, man, so many of them, through promiscuity and these different things, are ending up thinking they're filling the void, but end up more emptiness. I remember when I used to get stoned, you know? And when you get high, and then, you know, the next day, you wake up, and, you know, you just feel just as empty, if not more so empty. You know, you've wasted a day, because we used to sit around and look at our surf magazines and stuff like that. I still look at my surf magazines, but I'm not high anymore. But, you know, you sit there and you waste a whole day, and I don't waste a day doing it now. I browse through them very quickly. But, you know, you could just lose all this time. And what did you do? You did nothing. It was just a complete waste. You know, so now your hole's deeper than you were in. You know, you were all bummed out, and, you know, this all, and it's this weird cycle. You know, I know other young people that I'm around that have spent years like that, you know, and really have nothing to show for that time at all. Just, I was stoned for years. You know, the same thing with drinking. You know, we think that, well, it just helps me to be more relaxed or whatever. Okay, fine. But then you take it one step further, and you just, all of a sudden, it becomes so embedded into the life and the lifestyle. I got to the point where I didn't even want to go anywhere unless there was going to be drinks served. There's not going to be drinks served. There's no reason for me to go there. That was the way I used to think when I was partying and stuff. But I always ended up with more emptiness than when I started. And so it ends up being so true in the Bible, is the Bible the wisdom that's given to us, you know, to be careful. And we'll get into that in the Proverbs. It talks about the guy who parties too much, you know, and what happens to him. But the emptiness and the futility, and the young people, to me, if we can just share with them, hey, you don't have to go that way. You can find fulfillment. You can find joy. You can find peace. You can find maybe a family that you've never had within the body of Christ that you never had otherwise. You can find brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and, you know, grandparents and everything, all inside the body. Isn't that exciting? Even inside a body our size, you can find all that. Isn't that exciting? You know, you think about that, and that's who we can be to a younger generation that's coming up. If we will but continue to open our lives and be, like it says in the Chronicles, about the Lord searching to and fro for just one person that will just lock up their hearts in harmony with the heart of God. And God's heart is for people. You know, but the decisions that are made for Jesus Christ, the majority of the decisions made for Jesus Christ are made in the teen years. That's the facts. And I'm open. I want to see everybody come to know the Lord. But it's so important that we keep our, don't lose sight of wanting to minister to these younger people out here. And I know we're going to see more and more of it. They are going to, everybody dresses different. It's just different. That's generational. It's no going to be, it was no different when we were all kids than, you know what I mean? Some people maybe can remember back to Zoot Suit times. I can't go back quite that far, but some people can go back that far. You know, some people go back to just all the hippie stuff. Some people go back to the Boy George times. Some people go back to, you know what I'm saying? It just depends on what time period you grew up in, you know? And you look at this, though, and God's wanting to touch and God's wanting to minister. And so this, but these are some of the things that we have to say. You don't have to choose this route. It leads down to death, separation from God. You know, every time we go into deep sin like that and we're distant from God, every time it puts another layer, another callous layer, another callous layer, another callous layer, another callous layer, until we almost become desensitized. I don't know if you remember, you know, how sin was like that. You know, remember the first time you do something that you knew you really weren't supposed to do just because it was innate. You knew inside yourself you weren't supposed to. The first time you feel there's some element of remorse. And then the next time, well, not so much. The next time, and then it's, what is it? It's that callous layer. Callous layer. But the tender hearts, and God wants to reach them and touch them so that they can be saved and know Jesus Christ. What a great thing to think about. Chapter 8. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of a high hill. And so now we've had, we see the evil woman, but we also see wisdom, you know, personified, right, in women. You know, so it was using that as that vehicle to give the example of, and it's likened unto. She takes her stand on the top of a high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors, to you, O men, I call, and my voice to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot compare with her. You know, there's no person on the face of the earth that could state that more openly and truthfully than Solomon. You know, Solomon, remember when we started in Proverbs, we were over in 1 Kings chapter 3. And the Lord just said, hey, what do you want? Yeah, I want to bless you. What do you want? You know, and isn't it great what he chose? He didn't say, I want a boatload of money. He didn't say, none of these things. He said, man, you've placed me in a place of leadership over your people. I need wisdom. I need understanding so that I can do things the way that would please you. And God gave him wisdom, and then he said, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but man, I'm going to bless you with this, I'm going to bless you with that. But he sought out after wisdom above all of the monetary or gain, material gain. He sought out wisdom above material gain. Isn't that interesting? And so he could say it, you know, really in Solomon's time, chunks of gold were just around. You know, it wasn't what, it was just such a radically blessed environment. And in that radical, when you see this and you look at this in this light and you see how good it is to seek those things and that they're better than anything else that you could acquire or gain. All the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Just simple godly wisdom. The benefits of it. It can change our lives radically. Now, this idea about as this cry starts to go out, And the importance and the value of wisdom. You know, the one thing that can, what can hinder us from gaining wisdom? That's a good thing to think about. What could hinder that? But the main thing I think that hinders it is my thinking that I have more wisdom than I have. Because if I start contemplating, thinking that I know something, I kind of have a bit of a blockage from receiving more information. Because I already think I know. And so now I'm not receiving that, and it's hard to take it in. We want to remain teachable. Remember, as Christians, when we look through, read through the New Testament, we say we're disciples of Jesus Christ. We're followers of Jesus Christ. Well, disciple means learner, ongoing basis. Learner. I'm just a learner. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Ongoing process in motion until the time we cross over and go into the other side to be with the Lord. So we don't want to assume that we know more than we know. We want to be open and learn and be flexible and hear from God and just grow. That's how we're going to grow. We know that the source of all wisdom is what found in Jesus Christ. We know this. We're going to hit this pretty soon when we go through Colossians chapter 2. That he is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Everything. We can trust the wisdom that God gives us also here. It talks about there's nothing crooked or perverse in them. They're words of righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse in them. You ever sought out to get maybe counsel in a matter? There's an interesting process in this to think through when you want to get counsel. When I really want counsel in my life, one, I want counsel from people who really know my heart. Especially when it comes to ministry or you know, my walk with God and that kind of stuff. I want people that know my heart, you know, for the Lord. I also, when I want counsel, I think it's very important to be talking with people that want what's God's best for you. That they don't have any other personal agenda or anything else in it, but they want what's genuinely best, what's God's best for your life. And so when you're seeking that counsel, it's important to know that you're talking with people that, you know, share your heart, know your heart for the Lord. They kind of know where you're at, and then that don't have any other motive but just to share something that they believe is going to be edifying or beneficial to you personally. Those are important things. And then you want people that are what? That you can trust, that are going to be truthful with you. Isn't that that's the kind of wisdom that God wants to give us in counsel. You see, he's always interested in your eternal best interest. No one knows your heart like God knows your heart. You see, when you think about it. He always is about your eternal best interest in mind in all situations. And he's got the ability to share absolute truth with you. And he knows you to share absolute truth with you. He knows everything about us, and he's going to share absolute truth with us. And so, interesting when you think about that, how we want to approach it. We want to approach it in the same way and listen for the voice of the Lord. And you know the Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counsel, that it's important sometimes to visit. Now, the flip side of that, that's a real positive side. Let's flip it over though and look. Sometimes when we want counsel, we really want justification and not counsel. See, I want to justify what I'm thinking about doing. You know, I want to justify that idea there I got going. And so then I pursue those who I think are going to automatically be in agreement with me on whatever I'm thinking. And so then I'm seeking to justify something and to, you know, secure my thinking on something. And I'm going to pursue that. But that's not really looking for the truth. That's not really looking for the, you see. Now, what is your obligation when the phone rings then? And you've got this friend, and let's say they're not believers. And they ask you, hey, you know, I'm kind of having this rough go of this. As a Christian, what's really your role as a Christian in giving out counsel or input? Well, I listen, and I say, well, that's interesting. And then I would say, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about this kind of stuff. Now, I don't get all churchy or preachy. But I try and interject, bring the Lord into it. Because in and of myself, what am I? I might give him some dumb idea. Or I might start telling him, well, you know, I'm sure it'll all just work out. That's not true, is it? That's true for Christians. The Bible's talking about for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Now, this is someone who I'm talking to who doesn't necessarily love God, isn't necessarily the called according to his purpose. So what's their need? First need is, your deepest need is to meet Jesus Christ. That's where the hope, that's where the help is, to know Jesus. That's where the connection is going to be made. Everything else will come out of that source. So my obligation, your obligation in counsel and input is to point them to the Lord, not to just comfort or console, because I could fall into the trap. You could fall into the trap then of like kind of being the person who's just kind of going along with what they're justifying, you see? But you don't want to help secure their justifying a position. You want them to see Jesus. I find over and over again, so many events and circumstances that the Lord allows are for God's purpose to teach us something, to give us instruction, to help us, to show us his ways. And so when we look at some of this and we see wisdom's there, James said, man, you ask for it, be open to it, but you want to hear what the Lord has to say. And sometimes it's, hey, I don't think you ought to go that way. And we got to be open to that, you know? But I want to go that way. I want to see you go this way, but I can't see myself going, but I want to go, you know, you see, and this battle goes on. And that's where, what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be compass. That's what I believe I'm called to be a lot of times in a lot of situations. I'm just the compass. Due north. Everything in your body, your mind, everything is saying, no, that's no north. No, that's pretty close to south, you know, a little southwest, but it's not north. So what's my role? North, Jesus, north. Stay focused. That's what we want to look to. Everything else, no good. You know, and that's really a lot of times our role. And man, I'll tell you, it's hard sometimes to stick to your guns on that because you want to comfort, because you sense and empathize with somebody's hurt. But sometimes the best thing to do is, man, boom, let them hit the wall. You know, because man, when they hit the wall, they'll see Jesus. A lot of times. Sometimes I see us like driving around in our pickup trucks, you know, with just flat nose shovels, you know, in ministry. You shovel people up and throw them in your truck, you know, scrape them off the pavement and move on, you know, help point them to the Lord. But that's what it's all about. You know, when you look at wisdom and you look at gaining this stuff, it's not crooked or perverse. There's nothing crooked and perverse in the Lord. And we want to be like that when we counsel. That was the point of sharing all that with you, was we want to be like that. We want to be like the Lord. We want nothing crooked or perverse, nothing double-minded, nothing. If I start getting, you know when it happens in your mind, you start getting your own ideas. Well, you know, you get your own agenda thing going. You just turn it off. Look and say, man, I want what God's best for you. And be sincere. And the Lord will do it. The Lord will put that in our hearts. I want what's best for you. And the Lord will do a work. And I think it's awesome when we relax and let the Lord have his way with that. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Remember we talked about that a little bit? You know, what is the fear of the Lord? What does that mean? To hate evil. Then he goes on and describes what that means. That's one of the ways that we express, you know, and how do we gain wisdom and understanding? Well, fear the Lord. Well, in what way how do I represent fearing the Lord? Well, one is I love him so much that I don't want to do things that are going to be hurtful to him. You know, I love him too much. And I fear doing something that's going to hurt him. And then I hate evil. See, we hate sin because of God hates sin and the destructive things that happen with it. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In other words, it's that idea again that we talked about our mind and agreeing with God and God changes our heart. It's that same concept that we talked about. And it's that pride and arrogance and the evil way. So he describes there some of the aspects more specifically about evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Now if you think about it, evil as it's represented in man, in humanity, is at its core usually tied directly to pride. Almost directly connected to pride, you know? We talked about this, because I think of it every time when I hit that area with the old Neil Diamond song, you know, when he sung about husbands and wives, and it was his belief, he said, that pride is the chief cause in the decline in the number of husbands and wives, you know? And I think that's the big truth to that, you know? Maybe even almost scriptural for a Jewish fellow. But interesting idea, though, when you think about that, that, again, at the core of it, what? Is pride. You know, and it's just so neatly tied to evil. Very connected. And I find it interesting that in the human condition that the enemy works through that. You know, he works through our pride. And that's why we want to crucify it every day. Just keep ourselves focused on the Lord. And the perverse mouth, arrogance. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those, a great verse to note in verse 17, I love those who love me. And remember, what is wisdom directly connected to? We talked about this when we hit it in Colossians. We're not going to get into it real far tonight because we're going to cover it soon. But, you know, Jesus is the direct connection to wisdom. You know, he is that. And he is that in our lives. And so that direct connection that we have with that, and to stay focused on it in that way, really important for us. I mean, we love the Lord. I love those who love me. Man, the Lord wants to minister. We love him, and he loves us. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. You know, you think about enduring riches. What more enduring riches than throughout all eternity? You know, as you put things up in the treasury up there, you know, in the eternal treasury, and you leave things up there, and just, man, the things that we do that we don't ever have to talk to anybody about, we just do it under the Lord, and we leave it up there, and leave it in the eternal account. Man, what a great dividends that God's going to bless and pay dividends on. Enduring riches and righteousness, my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of the righteous in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And isn't it interesting that coupled with godly wisdom is blessing? It's just coupled together. You know, sometimes we want the one and we put the other one too far below. And it's more important to flip it over and seek for the one, because that's where the real value is. And the other somehow comes up under in alongside. But we know that this is the value. A number of years ago, listening to, and this was quite a few years back, but some of the guys, you know, that had been in ministry quite a while, been getting, you know, just radically blessed, you know, that God was blessing the works and a lot of things were going on. And they started buying a lot of, you know, pretty nice, really, really nice cars, you know. It was great. It was a great time to be driving a 76 Chevy pickup truck out in the middle of Missouri. I'm telling you, it was a great Bible study to be the guy that was doing that and not these other fellas, you know. But Pastor Chuck just got up there and just started sharing, you know, because it's not about what anybody has or doesn't have. That's not the thing. But what he shared from his heart was, he said that, you know, God had blessed him so radically. You know, and all his personal investments and his little things that God had just led him in, God had blessed him so radically that seriously, he could buy any car that he wanted, anything in the world that he wanted. It wouldn't matter. He could buy that vehicle. And he said, but, and then, you know, only as an older, wiser guy can say, but, you know, fellas, I don't choose to do that. You know, this is when he's probably driving a 87 Buick thing, you know, just something, you know, just to get around. And he just said, you know, I don't do that. But why? He says, because you know what? I just wouldn't want people to misunderstand who I am in the Lord. Yeah, I can have all that, but I don't need any of that. And I would rather have people see my heart represented in my relationship with the Lord as their servant. You know, really, it was just a great idea. And when I read through this, I kind of think about that a little bit. Sometimes we seek the bennies, the benefits, you know, instead of just seeking the one who provides all the benefits. The benefits come, but it's more important to seek the one who provides the benefits first. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, his works of old. I have been established from everlasting. This is wisdom itself, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. And you read back at Genesis account, you can see all this. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Well, as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman and was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Can't you just see Jesus, you know, with the Father in this all all-encompassed wisdom and just hanging out and just, you know, just the whole package of the Trinity being there together and wisdom just being engulfed in the midst of this as part of the person of God, you know, and just seeing the creation being developed. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my steps, watching at the ports, at the posts of my door, or waiting at the posts of my door. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. And again, that idea of being wisdom being encompassed in the person of Jesus Christ and being brought together there, and it's easy people. I sometimes think about it, and I think if what we see going on in our world today, the things happening, and the young people, and people just turning their back on God, not even just acknowledging Him in any way, and you think, man, you know, this is leading straight to hell. This lifestyle, this pattern, this is going to bring bad things. You know, and the younger that we turn our lives over to the Lord, the less scar tissue we have, you know, the more opportunity we have just to follow the Lord, the more blessing it is. It's what a great testimony that is. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come and eat of my bread. Drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live. And go in the way of understanding. This commitment in this lifetime institution in the school of wisdom, and it costs nothing but the openness to seek it. You know, that's all it costs us. You know, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to hunger after the Lord, to want His wisdom, to want His instruction for our lives. That's all it costs us, is to desire that, and God will speak to us and minister it to us. You know, and it's a lifetime commitment. It's something that goes on the rest of our lives as we seek Him and want to follow Him. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And again, that idea of not presuming or assuming that we have a lot more information, knowledge, and understanding than we do, but to remain what? Humble, so that we are teachable and that we can grow in the Lord always. I was this week, I got a call in my room probably 11:30 or 12 at night, and it sounded like somebody that was just pretty messed up, and they're looking for a couple of the other people that were staying in my room, you know, and a couple of my other buddies, and they're looking for them. I should have known right away what was going on. It was too late, and nobody knew where I was, really, to speak of. And so I'm thinking, man, you know, and it took me a few minutes. God, I'm a little bit groggy, and I hadn't gone to bed yet, but I was in this conversation, and these other guys weren't there, and it keeps going and stuff. I know who this is. It was my pastor calling me, badgering me at these hours. Rawls on the other end going, yeah, man, you know, where are these guys? You know, he's going on and on and on. You know, it was interesting. Well, they're going to be back in the morning, aren't they? They better be back in the morning. You know, he's wanting to track some of these guys down, because some of the guys that he knew were just kind of taking off and leaving the conference early. And he wanted to make sure some of us that are more directly connected with him, we just wanted to make sure that we weren't taking off, you know, or leaving early or cutting out or anything. And, you know, it was really cool what he told me. He goes, yeah, you know, Jim, man, I don't understand it. I just want to hear from God this week. He's just there listening to a lot of his contemporaries, guys that he's grown up in ministry, and some younger and some a little older, but a lot of them were mainly just his contemporaries. And he wasn't even a speaker at the conference or anything this year, but he was just there. And what a great example to me, for my heart, you know, again, a good reminder, you know, the people that God puts in front of us. You know, he was just there, and he wanted to make sure, man, you know, you guys better not be thinking about taking off. You know, because this is what I'm doing here, and I'm expecting this is probably what you're doing here, too. You know, I got it. He didn't say all that, but I got what he was saying. You know, I get caught on quickly. Oh, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm going to be right over at the study in the morning. I'll be right with you. You know, so, but this is, the idea is that, you know, this is a guy, frankly, he's got his doctorate now, you know, truly, and he doesn't ride on any of that. It was something that had to do with other ministry endeavors that he had going in South America. You know, because they really respect education and stuff down there. And that really was primarily why he pursued that. Had nothing to do with anything else. But it helped in that level. He knows it has nothing to do with his real ministry that God's entrusted to him or anything. Isn't that cool, though? You think about, he's there. Man, I just want to hear from the Lord. I want to hear what God wants to speak to my heart from his word. And this is what that wisdom is. And this is what, give instruction to a wise man and he will still get wiser. We will continue to grow as we remain humble and able to be taught. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. And that's what I thought about when I read that. You know, just a good example of that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it. You turn away from it, you know, you're going to bear it all on your own. So important. How many people are tonight somewhere bearing this on themselves, trying to deal with this on their own? You know, who are going to be like I was at times, you know, just, you know, in the deep recesses of my heart, you know, going to bed, you know, just kind of with tears running down my cheeks, going to sleep just because of the emptiness, man, that I felt inside myself. That I didn't want to talk to anybody about, but I felt it. I sensed it. I knew I was missing something. I knew something was wrong. And the depth of that, and that there's people wanted tonight that are going to be going to sleep that way because they're scoffing. They're not turning and humbling themselves and following true wisdom and pursuing Jesus Christ. When you think about it, the cure to the sin issue, which sin will kill, sin brings death, period. It is going to, many leave the planet without the Lord and they will go straight to hell. And that is forever and ever, unable to be changed. Man, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. Just no person would I ever wish that upon. You know? God wants people to come to know him and to have salvation. And so this is the hope that we have as Christians, to be able to share that with other people. How many people are bearing these things by themselves when they don't have to? A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. You know, isn't that true? The foolish now, this is the school of fools. You know, this is the fool school. You know, this is where they all go and hang out. And this is the end result of it. And then you look at the flip side. You're going to start now. We get into that was kind of the beginning of kind of an idea in a bigger portion of the positive and the negative. The flip side of the Proverbs that we start seeing. The positive and the negative. The positive and the negative. And we're going to now, when you get into chapter 10, as we start reading, we kind of end up in this new segment that goes into this. They're smaller, one quick statement Proverbs. And we're going to read through them because we just want to go through them. But we won't be, you know, every once in a while hit one or two here or there. They're going to have some that God's going to really speak to my heart about, and we'll go off on, or ones that are more controversial or something, we'll hit them. But other than that, we're just going to go through them. So it'd be good to read through them first so you can kind of get familiar with them. But the idea is that positive and the negative, the things of the Lord, and then the result of not following after the God. Following after God, not following after God, following after God. And you just see it, and it's just one of these quick statements, you know, one or two sentence proverbs. And they're going to be contrasting to one another. And you know, I find a lot in the Bible like that. You think about the house that was built on the sand and the house that was built on the rock. And how Jesus taught in that parable that way, but gave this simple contrast of the positive and then the negative. What's going to happen if you do this, and what's going to happen if you do this? One's going to impact you this way, one's going to impact you this way. The benefits of this, the loss of this, you know? What's going to stand the test of time? What's not? And it's just constant contrasting. And I see that. It starts being this thread that you'll start noticing throughout the Bible. You start seeing that. You know, these great men of faith that we read about in the New Testament. And yet it's fun to go back, isn't it, and read about some of their lives and how they lived and how they faltered and how they missed sometimes. You think about David's life and some of the things that he did. And yet God said, he's a man after my own heart. Think about that. That's interesting. And we know what he did. And we also know that it was the Holy Spirit that wrote scriptures. Because if he wrote this about himself, he wouldn't have included any of that. But we know the truth is that those are the real things that happened. And that was the way he really lived. One, gives me a lot of hope. Gives you a lot of hope. You know? It's not all about perfection, is it? It's about infusion, you know? God being in our lives. Him dwelling within us. And not about living a perfect life, but about living a life set apart to him. About following after him. About loving what he loves and hating what he hates. You know? The simple truths of the Bible. Positives. Negatives, positives, negatives. And it's interesting. And we see so many people, and I think we should amplify the positive things in life. I think that's important for us. But I think we got to have the fair warnings and keep our antennas up. Antlers, I guess, if you had them, but antennas up, if you can get those. But, kind of keeping our minds clear and being in this so that it's speaking to our hearts and you start seeing the contrast. It'll play out in front of us every day.